Good morning and welcome to St. Patrick's Cathedral for the celebration of the Eucharist on this 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. You can download the worship program for this Mass on your smartphone or other device at www.stpatrickscathedral.org/live. The celebrant for this Mass is the rector of St. Patrick's Cathedral, Father Enrique Salvo. We also welcome to this Mass the Bahamas National Youth Choir. As we begin this liturgy, we invite you to rise and to join in singing our entrance hymn, number 719 in the St. Michael hymnal found in the pews, number 719, Praise to the Holiest in the Height.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. Dear sisters and brothers, welcome to St. Patrick's Cathedral. Welcome everyone that is watching and being part of this Mass everywhere in the world, and in their homes, and everywhere. We're united together in this Mass. And we welcome in a very special way the Mr. Ambassador and the General Consul of the Bahamas and all the representatives here, because they're celebrating their 50th anniversary of their independence. So we congratulate them and congratulate all the people of the Bahamas on this day. And we will offer this Mass always for God's will to be done in the Bahamas. And let us be... And let us begin these sacred mysteries by recalling our sins and asking our Lord to grant us His peace, His mercy, and His forgiveness. Lord Jesus, you came to heal the contrite of heart. Lord, have mercy. You came to call sinners to yourself. Christ, have mercy. You are seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen.
Gloria, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria, Gloria in excelsis Deo. In excelsis Deo. Et in terra pax hominibus bone voluntatis, laudamus te, benedicimus te, adoramus te, glorificamus te. Gratias agimus tibi propter magnam gloriam tuam, Domine Deus, Rex Celestis, Deus Pater omnipotens. Gloria, Gloria. Genite Jesu Christe, Domine Deus, Agnus Dei, Filius Patris, qui tollis peccata mundi, miserere nobis, qui tollis peccata mundi, suscipe deprecationem nostram. Gloria, Gloria. Gloria, Gloria in excelsis Deo, in excelsis Deo. Qui sedes ad exteram patris, miserere nobis, quoniam tu solus sanctus, tu solus dominus. Tu solus altissimus Iesu Christe, cum Sancto Spiritu, in gloria Dei Patris. Amen. Gloria, gloria in excelsis Deo.
Let us pray. O God, who show the light of your truth to those who go astray, so that they may return to the right path, give all who for their faith they profess are accounted Christians the grace to reject whatever is contrary to the name of Christ and to strive after all that does it honor. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son,
who lives
and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, just as from the heavens the rain and snow come down and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. My words shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. The word of the Lord.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest. The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest. You have have visited the land and watered it. Greatly have you enriched it. God's watercourses are filled. You have prepared the grain. The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest. Thus have you prepared the land, drenching its furrows, breaking up its clods, softening it with showers, blessing its yield. The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest. You have crowned the year with your bounty, and your paths overflow with a rich harvest. The untilled meadows overflow with it, and rejoicing clothes the hills. The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest. The fields are garmented with flocks, and the valleys blanketed with grain. They shout and sing for joy. The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed to us. For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. For creation was made subject to futility, not of its own accord, but because of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. The word of the Lord. Christ is the sower. All who come to him will have life forever.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea.
Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came up and ate it. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear. The disciples approached him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? He said to them in reply, because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look, but they do not see, and hear, but do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled and in them, which says, you shall indeed hear, but not understand. You shall indeed look, but never see. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The Gospel of the Lord. Today, Jesus gives us this beautiful parable about how we want our soul, the soil of our soul, to be filled with everything that it needs to allow the grace of God to come and flourish and produce fruit. Therefore, he is telling us that through this parable that we must try with his help to be cleansed of anything that does not belong, all the examples that he mentions here that might and are affecting our spiritual life and our relationship with him. But aside from this parable, he also gives us a very important lesson about when the apostles ask him, how come you speak to them in parables? How come you just don't tell them directly? And he says that very important thing. He says, because they have ears, they see, but they don't, they have eyes to see, but they don't really understand, or they can hear it, but they're not really listening. They don't grasp it. But you, his disciples, have been given the wisdom to truly be able to see and to hear and to basically understand his word. And guess what? We are all his disciples, or at least we want to be his disciples, and he wants to give what he gave these disciples, the same thing to us. He wants to help us to truly have eyes to see as he sees, to hear as he hears, to speak as he speaks, basically to have his vision, the vision of Jesus of the world. And that is something that we pray for. As a matter of fact, one of the first things that we are prayed over when we are baptized in the baptism, when we are baptizing the baby, one of the prayers of the ritual of the baptism is called the Ephphata, which is a prayer that Jesus would say to heal the deaf and the mute. So we pray over the little baby's ears and mouth, and it's so that eventually the baby will grow to hear the word of God and to proclaim his word. Every time we pray to the Holy Spirit, we are asking him to illuminate us in such a way that we can really conform our way of living and seeing the world according to his will, with his love, with his wisdom, with his light. We even pray in the prayer that we have here of St. Patrick, our patron in the relic, we even pray for others in this sense. And if you notice the prayer of St. Patrick, it's where it says, Christ be beside me, Christ be to my left, to my right. The prayer also says, Christ be in every heart that thinks of me. Christ be in every tongue that is speaking of me. Christ be in every eye that sees me. Christ be in every ear that hears me. Right now you're hearing me. I pray that Christ is in your ears. And that is what we will always want to pray, because he wants to do that for us. He doesn't want us to live our lives forgetting that he's not there. He does not want us to live our lives and see the world without it being filled with his light, so that we can truly see everything according to his will. Of course, it'll take a lifetime of practice and of grace to come as the saints to basically become someone that sees everything as Christ does. But he wants us all to start and to be conscious of that, to be conscious that he wants us to live and walk in this earth like that. And then what happens when we receive that gift is that even though everything stays the same, everything changes. Even though no circumstances of our life are the same, when we start seeing our lives with Jesus's vision, everything changes. It's like a Scrooge and Christmas morning moment in which even nothing is, everything's the same, but now the world is different. And what that means is that now we see everything with the love of God. We hear others and we truly listen to what they need to tell us. We see the beauty of the world, and every time we see a blessing or something that is beautiful, that is a gift from God, it just doesn't stay there, oh, how beautiful. It goes more onto saying, and that's because I have a Heavenly Father that loves me. And that is the vision then, that it does not stay just in what we see. It's what it means to have that in our grasp. And we start even doing the most tedious things, like serving others, even if we have a work, our daily life might be difficult, it might be something that might be routine or boring, but when we do it with God's eyes and vision, we are doing it as an act of love. And as St. Therese of Lisieux says, even doing the smallest things with great love becomes a miracle. And that is exactly how Jesus wants us to live our lives. And of course, not even mentioning the fact that the more we have his vision, the more that we are going to truly have faith. So when we see the Eucharist, we don't see a piece of bread. We see the Eucharistic Christ in the Eucharist. When we hear the gospel, we just don't hear some words. We hear words that are a love letter that is meant to change us and convert us and to heal us. Everything changes, even if nothing else does. But that doesn't mean, though, and it's very important for us to realize that when we receive these gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to give us, it's not for us, it will be, definitely we will be filled with a lot of joy, with a lot of peace, we will be filled with happiness, with wisdom, but it doesn't mean that it's meant for us to just go walk around the world, our lives, in a spiritual high, on the cloud, and forgetting about everything else. If we truly want the gift of really seeing with the vision of Jesus Christ that he gives to his apostles, it will also mean and entail suffering. Because we can't just see everything that is beautiful. We must see everything that is beautiful and good and true and thank God and glorify Him for that. But we cannot close our eyes to things that are horrible, to things that are evil, to things that are unjust. We cannot close our eyes to the suffering of others. We cannot close our ears to the cries of others. We cannot pretend like nothing bad is happening and not doing anything at all. To have the vision of Christ means to, of course, see the world as He sees it. And Jesus Christ saw the mystery of the human condition as much as He gave thanks to God for even the lilies in the field that were clothed more beautifully than Solomon. He saw the suffering of everyone that He healed. He died on the cross for us because He saw the sinfulness in the world. And so it's a responsibility that we have. We want that because not only do we want to be filled with His light to live in the world in a more, our life in a more beautiful way, but we also want to be champions and disciples of helping others that need protection, that need our help, need our prayers. Our prayers are so important. Even if we feel that we can't do much actively, we have a conscience. And there are so many things out there. We see every day when we open up the news, and we see so much that's needed for us to see and not just ignore. And there's beautiful things that remind us of that, of the hard realities of life. I'm recommending, and I have like a week ago, but I'm recommending again, and I'm happy. I think a lot of us have seen it. That new movie, that beautiful, powerful movie, The Sound of Freedom, which is about human trafficking. That movie, first of all, it was produced by Angel Studios, which they produced The Chosen, which we can call them modern sacred artists. It's sacred art for our modern times, what they produce. Everything that they produce touches us as any sacred art from of old should touch us and inspire us. And it's with Jim Caviezel that plays the true story of this agent from the United States called Tim Ballard, who did heroic things to save so many children that are trafficked in sex trade and slavery throughout the world. And it's with Eduardo Verástegui. It's with, they have other actors like Mira Sorvino in the movie. And it's a powerful movie. Not only is it beautifully made, but the message is very extremely hard for us to see, but we must see it. Because if we do not see the realities of what our brothers and sisters, especially children and the most innocent and vulnerable of the world are going through, then basically we are not seeing life in the way that Jesus wants us to see life. If we just pretend that nothing bad is happening because we are too lazy or too numb to really care, that is not seeing the world with the eyes of Jesus. Seeing the world with the eyes of Jesus is seeing how tragedies like this happen in our planet, and we have to do something about it. And when we see this movie, it's just even about awareness. That in itself is a big step. It's a responsibility to be aware about what's going on in the world. It's a responsibility because if we're not aware, then nothing is ever going to change. That movie, they say, took a long time to be able to come out to the public. Thankfully, it has reached, and it's number 3 in the box office, which is in itself a type of miracle and something powerful. But it's much more than that. As Jim Caviezel says at the end of in the movie, in the commentary part, he says, this is not about the true story or about even Tim Ballard or about them. It's about the children. It's about the children that right now, as we speak, are going through these horrible, horrible situations of slavery in this time in which there are more slaves in 2023 in the world than there was when it was legal. That is mind-blowingly tragic. And we can't just sit here not willing to see that. If we want to see everything with God's eyes, we will see all that is beautiful, then we will see all that is wrong, but we will always see it with hope, because that is the end. These things are not there to just depress us and to just say, wow, this world is a mess. it starts with that, but we are at the same time disciples of Jesus Christ. So then he says, well, now you're seeing it, he's going to tell us. Now you are going to receive the vision to see it as I see these tragedies. And now, if you really want to be my disciple, I am going to help you be an instrument in whatever way. Is it prayer? Is it being an advocate? Is it whatever it is to help to stop that cause? And any that cause that is horrible in the world. So we must want that. It's something that is extremely important. And by the way, here at St. Patrick's Cathedral, we will always pray for that cause, because our patron, St. Patrick himself, was a victim of human trafficking. He was kidnapped by pirates and sold as a slave. We have here the big blessed in our crypt, buried venerable Pierre Toussaint, who was a slave once, and now he's in the way to sainthood. And he became a saint here in New York. And we have this new sculpture here that it was made by the sculptor Timothy Schmolz, which is called Let the Oppressed Go Free. And we have Saint Josephine Baquita, who was also a victim of human slavery. And with the hope that all of these, and you should go see it after the Mass, that all of the different forms of human trafficking, which are millions of forms, are freed finally and liberated. And we must pray for that. And we here at St. Patrick's Cathedral, and we here as a church, should all pray for that and do our part. So we want the vision of Jesus Christ. He wants to give us his vision. He wants to give us his ears, his mouth. He wants to give us his heart. But we must want it, and knowingly, though, that if we receive it, we are going to see the world in a much more beautiful way, and we are going to be reminded of heaven and of love everywhere we look, and we are going to be filled with a peace and a joy that surpasses all understanding. But we will also truly suffer out of compassion and out of love for the sorrows of others, of our brothers and sisters in the world. But that is exactly what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that is something that he wants all, as he did these first apostles, to have and to be and to come to in a relationship of love with him. God bless you. And now, let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We turn in prayer to our Father in heaven.
For our Holy Father, Pope Francis, for our shepherd, Timothy Cardinal Dolan, for all bishops, priests, deacons, religious, and those who guide us in faith, that they may be holy and effective in their mission to draw all people to Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace among nations and for those suffering the effects of war, especially in Ukraine, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
for those who are traveling or vacationing this summer, that they may enjoy God's protection on their journeys and return home refreshed and renewed. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all our beloved dead, that they may enjoy the fullness of eternal life, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. And let us pray for all victims of human trafficking and that horror ends in this world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Loving God, open our hearts and fill us with your concern for all your people. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
We invite you to join in singing our offertory hymn, number 791 in the hymnal. Number 791, There's a Wideness in God's Mercy.
Pray, brothers and sisters, that this my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father. Look upon the offerings of the church, O Lord, as she makes her prayer to you, and grant that when consumed by those who believe, they may bring ever greater holiness through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For out of compassion for the waywardness that is ours, he humbled himself and was born of the Virgin. By the passion of the cross, he freed us from unending death, and by rising from the dead, he gave us life eternal. And so, with angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory as without end we acclaim. Amen. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and, once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly, we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, and Timothy, our Bishop, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the Blessed Apostles, Saint Patrick, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen, amen, amen.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say,
"Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil."
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, so that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us offer each other the sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Thank you.
Please join in singing our communion hymn, number 521 in the hymnal. Number 521, Father, we thank thee.
Let us pray. Having consumed these gifts, we pray, O Lord, that by our participation in this mystery, its saving effects upon us may grow. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we thank the Bahamas National Youth Choir for the beautiful song and that they, and you're always welcome here in the cathedral. The Lord be with you. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Mass has ended. Let us go in peace.
Thanks be to God.
And have a blessed week, everyone.
Thank you. Please join in singing our recessional hymn, number 575 in the hymnal, I Sing the Mighty Power of God.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines forth at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word, and then pronounced them